And good evening, friends. Welcome to Christian Education Today. I am Pastor Calvin Lindstrom, and I am very happy to have the chance to again speak with Dr. Marcus Ross. I've had the pleasure of meeting with him now a few times, and he was at our church just a week ago in January here, so it was a blessing to be with him again, and we are going to kind of continue a conversation that we had a little over a year ago just on how we teach our children about creation and evolution. And I have a short series of questions. If we get through them all, great. We'll try to keep this to about a half an hour. But Marcus, let me just have you again introduce yourself. I may switch to a splash screen of credentials, we'll call them, on Liberty University, or the information they have with you at Liberty University, where you have taught, where you were the director. So just share some background about who you are and why you do what you do.
Sure. Thanks very much, Calvin, again, for having me on this time around. As I just got back from our trip, from my trip to Chicago. It was really wonderful to catch up with you again and see the folks at your church. So for the listeners, my name is Dr. Marcus Ross, and by background, I am a paleontologist. I study fossils and rocks and geology, and I got degrees initially from Penn State University, then went out and got a degree in paleontology from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology in Rapid City, and then boomeranged back to my home state of Rhode Island, where I earned a PhD working on a group of extinct marine reptiles called mosasaurs. If any of you have seen Jurassic World, then the animal that comes out at the end of the movie and chomps down that Indominus Rex is a mosasaur. Those were the critters that I studied for my PhD. Once I was nearly done with that, I began working at Liberty University, where I was hired on to teach courses in geology, earth science, paleontology, and creation studies. I was the assistant director of the Center for Creation Studies, and for 4 years, from 2017 to 2021, I was also the director of the Center for Creation Studies. I stepped down from teaching full-time a year and a half ago, as my wife and I had started some years before a science supply company called Cornerstone Educational Supply. She likes to say we're the stuff people. So when your science curriculum says, go get some stuff and do stuff, we're the sort of place where you can go to get the stuff you need. We started with geology kits because, you know, you kind of do what you know. And from there, we have expanded out into biology, chemistry, physics. We make curriculum kits for a variety of different publishers and, you know, just have the supplies ready for your homeschool co-op, classical conversations, co-ops, and private schools. So we do a lot of work with schools, with publishers, colleges and universities as well.
Excellent. Thanks so much. Well, if we have time at the end, we'll maybe talk a little more about some of the products and what you would recommend at different things. So for younger children, what are things, and I'm assuming most people watching this probably have their children at Christian school or homeschooling, maybe not all, but and even for those maybe whose children still are in a government school, what should parents stress to their younger children about the subject of creation?
That's a good question. Little kids are sharper than we often think. You know, they don't have the vocabulary that we do, but they're thinking difficult thoughts and they're thinking through things. I remember being as young as 9 and trying to wrestle my way through how do the dinosaur books that I was getting from the library make sense with the Bible that I was learning about in Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 9 years old, and I'm going through ideas like gap theory and day age, mm-hmm. and I have no idea what those are. But I'm trying to think, well, is there some way that dinosaurs in the Bible can work with one another? And with that in mind, it always reminds me, first off, I was a weird little kid. But second, that, you know, most kids are weird little kids and they're thinking through hard topics like this. Mm-hmm. So when I think about, you know, what would be good things to keep in mind for teaching the younger ages, first off, helping them remember and recognize that God's word is just that. It is his word. And because of who God is, his communication to us should be prized above all other forms of communication. Mm-hmm. It's a more important bit of information that we get about God than when we can learn about God through nature. There are things we can learn about God through nature. The book of Romans reminds us of that. But when Paul talks about Romans, there's a very limited number of things that we can learn about God through the creation. So his revealed word is much more important. It's inerrant. It's authoritative. If we keep those things in mind, then when it comes to the topics of creation, we can tell kids that God created the world. The first thing that they have to grasp is that this world is not a product of circumstances that did not have us in mind. Mm-hmm. Our world is a product of a divine agency and a divine mind that wanted us to be here and wants to have a relationship with his creation, including us as the chief members. So God created the world. He created us in his image. And when we talk about image of God, a good way for us to, I think, relate that to a little kid is like somebody who runs McDonald's, you know, or somebody who runs a local store. We are the managers that God has put in the store. We're not the owners of the world. God's the owner, but we are the managers. And in many ways, we reflect God in some way. He gave us certain attributes that he has so that we can run the world well. Now, we don't always do that. So we can tell kids that God created the world, that he created us in his image, but we're broken. We're broken because of the fall, and we're broken because of our own sins. But all of us are sinners. And because of that, the creation isn't quite the place that we want it to be, that it was at the beginning, that along with our fall comes the consequences, comes the fall of the world with us. So I think those are a couple of things to help kids understand theologically. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes to science, you can try to weave that into, you know, the curriculum that they're working with, the specials and the TV shows that they are watching. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to watch shows that have evolutionary information in it or old age information, as long as you can work it back into the core truths about Christianity here. And if you want to go further, you want to take a young earth creation perspective about that, you can talk about how God created the world in 6 days, and that those are real days, and can have the kids learn what happens on each of those days. Mm-hmm. You can tell them that we know that God created the world young because the Bible tells us who everybody's dad was, going back from Abraham all the way back to Adam. And so we have a way of having an idea that the earth is young, that there was a global flood at the time of Noah. These are all things that at the young ages we can work to maintain a recognition that these are historical events that have a grounding in fact. Mm-hmm. And for the young kids, that's a good start.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's excellent. We're moving now, let's say, to high school. Mm-hmm. Those who are perhaps even in a Christian school, or again, or maybe are being given a Christian perspective in their own family through a homeschool, what, and maybe even their science books, hopefully their science books, maybe they're using apologia or something that would be taught from a Christian perspective. What are issues, though, maybe beyond the textbooks or other things that they should keep in mind?
Yeah, well, by the time your kids are in high school, and my oldest is now in her first year of high school, so I'm seeing this for myself. Mm-hmm. So the advice is still from the standpoint of a dad who's not been through tons of this yet. Mm-hmm. But having seen loads of students come through my classes at Liberty University coming out of high schools, I was a public school kid. And for me, I didn't have an option to go to a Christian school at the time. And homeschooling was not a thing really where I grew up in Rhode Island at that time. So it was a lot of personal reflection, study, wrestling, you know, trying to kind of figure things out. Things are a little bit different now in terms of how much evolution is promoted within the textbooks in the public school and in others. It's much stronger than it was when I was in high school. But nonetheless, it's not a topic to shy away from. When the vast majority of the biologists and scientists of the world say this is correct, we should at least pay very, very close attention to that, even if we don't agree with it. We have to give it the due respect of the fact that it has convinced a large number of fairly skeptical minds about things. So I think one of the things to remember if your kid is going through high school is don't avoid evolution. If anything, that is going to be very counterproductive. You don't want to try and shield them from evolution as an idea, because there is no place they can go in which that won't be entertained, thought, presented, right? It's everywhere. I mentioned the Jurassic World right. movies. I mean, it's right there. And I love those movies, but I also recognize the perspectives that they're bringing. And, you know, go to an IMAX somewhere or what have you, you're going to get that stuff. So if you're trying to teach your kids about creation at this age, you're obviously going to need slightly more elevated materials that are going to be able to talk a little more substantively about particulars of science, particulars of philosophy, particulars of theology. There's, mm-hmm. you know, creation touches on a wide range of different aspects of education. Now, on the Christian textbook side, you mentioned apologia. They certainly have a creation perspective that they present in their textbooks. Likewise, if you were to take, say, Berean Builders, which is another good one, or Master Books, they have a series of high school textbooks now. Those are all creation advancing. Bob Jones's textbooks and Abeka. Although I would say Abeka, I wouldn't recommend nearly as much. The books just don't have, they're far more antagonistic and dismissive about evolution than I think they need to be. In that regard, but the other sets, you know, are either new or are being updated quite a bit, and so there's a lot of good going on in the Christian educational circles these days. Mm-hmm. But you can always augment, because those books will often pick up creation as just little snippets and little tiny topics along the way, not weaving something into a coherent whole. For the high schooler, especially a little more advanced high schooler, one of the books that I would recommend that they pick up is called The New Creationism by Dr. Okay. Paul Garner. And we'll hear his name again probably later on okay. with a few
that
other resources.
That was one of the books that you had recommended, mm-hmm. I think, last year. So The New yeah. Creationism by Paul Garner. Okay.
Yep. It's an excellent book, you know, a couple hundred pages, but, you know, smaller form. It's not a big textbook type of thing. And it's, I think it's probably the best current single book that can give us an overview of creation across different areas.
Okay. That's very, very useful. Well, I think in the some of the show notes, some of those details should be there, but we'll highlight that one. Someone, or let's talk about this. What colleges would you recommend in terms of creation for students, parents that have made that choice that their child's going to go on to higher education? What are some of the Christian colleges still teaching worldview as it relates to this?
You know, this has been an interesting area to watch over the years, because while there may have been a lot more colleges that were teaching some aspect of creation, say 30, 40 years ago, the quality of what is being presented at perhaps a smaller number of schools right now is better, and far more coherent in a programmatic sort of sense. So if I've got a good size list over here, of course, I taught at Liberty University for mm-hmm. 16 years. And I left on good terms. I wasn't bitter or angry, or I didn't get kicked out or anything like that. So I could still recommend that school.
Good.
Very happily. I've got great colleagues. Dr. Tim Brophy is the director of the Center for Creation Studies there now. He's a biologist. He's running research programs with students and doing great work. The chair of the engineering department, Dr. Mark Horstmeyer, is a passionate young earth creationist, and he's running research over there. The theology department, the School of Divinity, has got some great folks on the theology side of things. And I've really been working over the past few years, now Dr. Brophy taking up this role of trying to make good connections across the school to make sure that creationism not only is maintained by the school, but also that it's well integrated and nicely connected amongst the different aspects. Mm-hmm. So Liberty's a great place. Other great schools are going to be Cedarville University in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Dr. John Whitmore is one of the geologists there, and perhaps the most active of the creation researchers, but also Steve Golmer in physics, both very good friends of mine. Their biology programs, theology programs are very solid. The Masters University out in California is a great one. They've got a couple of faculty that are very active in creation issues and training students as well. A few others that maybe are lesser known, especially in your neck of the woods. Bryan College down in Dayton, Tennessee, the home of the Scopes Trial. That school is named after Williams Jennings Bryan. And they've got a couple of great creationists over there. They, for a long time, had a Center for Origins Research that they don't have that anymore. They ran into some tough finances a few years ago. But that the people who were there actually spawned a ministry called Core Academy of Science, still right there in Dayton. A couple other schools I'll just mention, Truett-McConnell University, which is down in Georgia. And they've got some great creationists there, Dr. Andrew Fabich, Dr. Kurt Wise, Bob Jones University, especially some of the folks in their physics department that I know do really good work. Pensacola doesn't have a whole lot of folks who are very active in young earth creationism, but it's certainly a school that is well known for advocating it, and through their Abeka publishing does a lot of that. You also have some other things a little more outside of the box for, say, Seventh-day Adventists. That denomination has young earth creationism as a core tenet. And so a good number of their colleges would be places where if you were in the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, I would say, for graduate school, Loma Linda. For undergraduate, you might look to Andrews University or Southern Southern Adventist University in Tennessee. Those would both be like the two bigger ones in terms of some of the research that's going on there. And some of the Lutheran schools as well. There's a couple of the Concordia colleges that have young earth creationists. There are a few that don't. You'd have to be a little careful as you take a look at those.
That's a fantastic list. I mean, I think that's a good good starting point.
Plenty more.
Someone wanting to pursue a career in science, and you know, you went to three public universities, certainly not creationist universities. Someone that's going to become a biologist. I don't know if all the schools you mentioned, they could get their PhD in biology. Maybe they would get their undergrad at least, get a good foundation. Then perhaps they would move off. What would be some of your suggestions for a Christian who is wanting to honor God in science and in other aspects, but they feel maybe called to be a witness in a dark place?
There aren't very many schools where you can go all the way to PhD, for example. You can get a PhD at Liberty University. They have one biology PhD program, but it's more of an anatomy kind of training people to teach anatomy sort of issues. You could do that. Loma Linda University has biology and geology degrees, and there's quite a number of creationists who have graduated out of those programs, a growing number now. There's quite a few in the pipeline, actually. It's really exciting. I mentioned Cedarville University. Their lead faculty, John Whitmore, was a Loma Linda grad, and he was able to establish a geology program, and now that's becoming a bit of a pipeline for Loma Linda, which is now producing a number of young earth creationists and young earth creationists, the next generation of researchers. I can think of half a dozen, right now that either have their PhD or are almost there. And you're like, wow, this is as many people with, coming out of that program. That's as many people as there were that were creation geologists, like when I graduated with my master's degree or something. You kind of go, wow, God's got some stuff on the move. Now, that means that for most students, they're not going to be going to a Christian college for like master's and PhD. And I didn't go to a Christian college for my undergraduate either. You don't have to go that route. But it is pretty amazing now that we have at least the first step and sometimes a couple others along the way that are available. If you're going to go on and you want to do a master's degree or PhD or something like that, go for the best school that you can. Yeah, there's one side of the coin where you stay within a Christian realm because you want to maintain a certain kind of theology. You want to be in a certain type of environment and community. On the other hand, science is a big mission field. There's a lot of people out there that don't know Jesus and haven't seen a good representative of Jesus because they just don't travel in those kinds of circles. It's a harder route to take, you know, when nobody goes to church on Sunday and you do, mm-hmm. Or, you know, a lot of people use coarse language around the office and you don't, or you're a creationist and nobody else is. That's a harder route. And believe me, I know it's not easy. But at the same time, I think there's something very valuable about pursuing a level of excellence, whatever level of excellence that seems to be available to you to, to go for it and try to attain it. So don't be afraid to go to a secular school. Simply be wise about being at a secular school.
Yep, good, good. And I'm pretty sure in our previous interview, when you go to a school, you have to think about also the broader church community that you will be connected with.
And yes,
I think when you choose a school, you should have a church also in mind, because in a formative period of your life, you need to be anchored in God's truth.
That's absolutely
that
true.
That was one of the things you had mentioned, and I think that was very sober advice. Excellent. I really appreciate your knowledge of these things. What is there anything new in terms of the creation evolution debate?
It's all solved.
That's right. Your talk on Sunday was fascinating about how some dinosaurs likely were feathered, and it's just, it's beautiful, actually. That was my takeaway from your talk. It's like, oh, this is fascinating. As you presented it, and I didn't know how your talk was going to end. I was kind of going in there. I mean, I knew it was going to be a good talk, but I didn't know how you were going to conclude. It's like, oh, that's profound. Perhaps that's something new. Are there other new areas of research? What, from your perspective, what is new?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. You know, one of the things that sometimes happens as Christians think about, well, as everybody thinks about science, sometimes science is presented as like, here's all the facts about the world, and you just have to know them, and that's it. There isn't kind of this recognition in the textbooks that there's a lot more to do, and research into the world is ongoing. There's more that comes up. Every time somebody takes a hammer, hits a rock, and finds a new fossil, this is something that God has hidden away that is now available to discover and find and learn about. So there's a lot going on both inside young earth creationism, between young earth creationism and other aspects of Christianity, and then amongst the non-Christian side of things and Christians. So, you know, at different levels, there's a lot of stuff going on. I'll mention something that's coming up later this year is the International Conference on Creationism. And that is held about every 5 years. And this year it's being held at Cedarville University. Oh. For the first time, it's not in Pittsburgh. They've moved it over to a college site. And this is a big gathering of creationists for presenting research. This is not like one of your church creation conferences. This is Egghead City. And I'm really looking forward to that. I've got a paper with Dr. Todd Wood of Core Academy on human origins and how we can use paleoanthropological evidence, like evidence of fire, evidence of tools, evidence of burials, to help identify which of the different hominin fossils, these different cavemen types, were actually human. And humans, not just what you and I look like or what anybody on this earth right now looks like, it's a broader category. There, you know, the Neanderthals, for example, were people. They were human beings made in the image of God. They're probably a post-flood group of people. So that's an area that I'm involved with, but there's lots of stuff going on with radioactive dating methods, arguments about where Noah's flood goes in the geological column, how high up in the layers of the Mesozoic and the Cenozoic and whatnot. That's a big area of debate and discussion right now. We've got a lot of stuff going on with biology in terms of identifying created kinds. There's a couple of different methods out there. We're trying to sort out which ones are working well. So a lot of good stuff going on internal. And as I said, there's, you know, these schools are producing students which are doing research and moving on, and they're producing stuff. So we're seeing a lot of young researchers coming up. This is a very exciting time. For young earth creationism, speaking to the rest of the creation, the Christian community, I'm seeing some exciting things, mostly in the realm of the theologians and not so much of like our creation ministries making some sort of deep impact into other areas, but rather amongst, say, the Evangelical Theological Society. That's an egghead society for people who speak Greek and Hebrew and right, all that sort of stuff. We're seeing a lot of debate over Adam and Adam's historicity. There are some evangelicals saying we can't have Adam. Evolution's true, and evolution means there's no Adam. So there's a lot of fight going on about this topic right now. And we're seeing a lot of different camps, and young earth creationists are being given at least, you know, a chance to make their case in a couple of places. And I've got a chapter coming out in a four views type of volume about that. But I know a couple of other theologians and science writers who have got books, you know, by notable presses within evangelicalism that 5-10 years ago would have never thought that they would publish a young earth book, and they're considering it. And that's really encouraging to me, because young earth creation scholarship sometimes has been a little uneven over the years. And sometimes our presentation style can be a little abrasive. But I think that things like this challenge about Adam and whether Adam's a figment of literature, as some evangelicals are trying to argue, has got other people, you know, woken up a little bit, like, wait a minute. We were told the age of the earth was no big deal because Adam was going to be safe. But now you're telling us we can't have Adam either. Right. No. Wait, what happened here? So, and all of this has really happened very, very quickly to a lot of evangelicals. The last 10 years, things have just kind of been turned over really fast. And I think this actually gives young earth creationists an interesting window of opportunity that if we are wise and we're crafty, not crafty like the serpent, but, you know, a little more Proverbs crafty, we, I think, have the most compelling story to tell here. And I think there might be some people willing to listen to our story who weren't willing to listen 10 years ago. So that's my prayer. And then on the, you know, the broader culture, we'll kind of see how all that plays out. Creation and evolution are not like major issues in the United States right now. We don't have any big court cases going on. There hasn't been a whole lot of like uproar over school boards for this reason, plenty of other reasons, but not this reason. So this happens with creationism. I've been watching this for a long time. I know you have as well. And there have been times in U.S. history when this has been a big deal. The late 70s, early 80s, the 1990s with the development of the intelligent design community, when Ken Ham had his debate with Bill Nye, there was a big, you know, spike. And you can see this in the Gallup surveys that are done. Anytime there's something national, there's just like the spike in the number of people who say, I'm a young earth creationist. And it's just like, then it drops back down. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there who would be interested if there was something interesting going on.
Okay. Let me ask you this question for you as a scientist, even as a theologian, and one of the things I respect about you is just your reverence for God's word. And as you have taught and done some preaching, even in our church, I've really appreciated and I've learned a lot from your preaching. So the most challenging issue that you wrestle with as it comes to creation evolution, what would you say that is?
Ooh, well, you know, as a paleontologist, one of the most difficult questions that I don't exactly know how to answer just yet is looking at that geological column that has all those funny names in there, our Mesozoic and Cenozoic and all the stuff that's in there. The level of resolution that we have to those is extraordinarily fine. So not only do we have like the Triassic and the Jurassic and the Cretaceous, but in the Cretaceous we have subdivisions of the Cretaceous as well. And why is it that we only find certain types of fossils in those subdivisions and not somewhere else in the Mesozoic is a big challenge. And when I and some of my other, you know, paleontology related friends get together, we all kind of look at each other, that's the big one for us.
Okay, interesting. Think there'll be a resolution for that?
One way or the other, but it's going to take a little while, and we're actually hoping to kind of get together next year and do kind of a weekend retreat and get a bunch of us paleo people together and just start brainstorming and say, hey, how would we approach this question? Because it's going to take a few of us thinking together and get some ideas bouncing off, I think, to get us into some productivity.
Okay. That I like that. Do you want to share any tips about your website there? This is cornerstone-edsupply.com. Cornerstone-edsupply.com. If you are just an independent homeschooler, maybe you're even with the Christian Liberty Academy homeschool program, what would be some resources that you think kids should have that they would appreciate?
Yeah, well, thanks. Thanks for asking. Well, our signature products are those geology kits that pop up every once in a while on there.
Okay.
If you're looking for something to accompany a discussion on rocks, minerals, or fossils, those are great. You're going to get a creation-based geological timescale in with your box. You're going to get beautiful specimens. We select them all ourselves. We build them all in-house.
Okay.
I wanted to create geology supplies that were better than the ones that I was using in my university classes
Okay.
and less expensive than the ones that I was using in my university classes. So the geology stuff is great. We've got one on Minecraft. So for all those that are just, gaga about that game, and that's millions and millions of people, we actually have a set of rock kits. That's the one right there, the
Okay.
Minecraft kit
Oh, the
that will
mine.
get
Okay.
the Minecraft. Yeah, so it's your own, and it is themed along with Minecraft.
Okay.
But if you're doing other stuff, if you are going to be doing a biology dissection, your curriculum says, all right, it's time to get that cow eye, or get that frog or that worm. We've got all your dissection supplies that you're going to need. We've
Okay.
got the tools, the specimens, things like that. We've got
Okay.
a few things. We have to update our website to get a few more of what we have. Because
Okay.
if you're a teacher or a school administrator and you're looking for something, shoot us an email. There's a contact button on the website, and let us know what you need, and we'd be very happy to help you out and get you the stuff that you want. We are highly competitive on pricing. We work hard with our suppliers to keep our prices down. And with every price, all the prices going up right now,
Yep.
saving a little bit is a bigger deal than it used to be. So let us know how we can help.
Sounds great. Marcus, thank you so much. We'll look forward to the next time you are in Chicago. I hope you come again in 2024, if not 2023. And
Thanks.
when's the date of the summit at Cedarville or the International Creation Conference?
Hold on one moment. Let me get that for you.
Okay. And is that open to the public?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But again, it's a heavy technical conference
Yeah.
that happens every 5 years.
Okay.
But it is open to the public, and they have a variety of different types of presentations. They've got full presentations, shorter abstracts, poster presentations as well. And the ICC coming up in, funny how that didn't show what I was expecting it to. There we go. ICC 20, okay, 23. Announcements. That was probably announcements is the place to look for that. Maybe not. Oh, I don't know. Man, I wish I would.
You know what? What when we'll figure it out and post it in the show notes.
Yeah, it should be
Oh, you
in
know what?
July.
July 16th to the 19th.
Okay,
July
thanks. You found it
16th through the
sooner than I
19th.
could.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to it. We'll be bringing Cornerstone there as well, so we'll have a couple of
Fantastic.
tables and have some fun stuff.
Thank you so much, Marcus. May the Lord bless you and listeners. If
Thank
you
you.
have comments or questions, either leave them here or go visit his website, and I'm sure he would be happy to take questions and respond to you. So thanks so much. Bye-bye.